Hi, everybody. Welcome to Third Space. I'm Kevin Weir.
And I'm Jeremy Berkeley, and I've driven for 7.5 hours straight, so let's do this.
Very short introduction. Hi, everybody. Welcome to Third Space.
Hello.
I already said that.
Yeah.
I said that. That was very, very recently.
Yes.
Jeremy is super tired.
Yeah, I'm great.
How you doing over there, sleepy boy?
I'm all right. Everything is... Why isn't there snow in my face right
now? You survived the dangerous trek through the mountains.
Yeah, for context for everyone, and I'm sorry my mother, who I know listens to this podcast, you're going to be sad that I did this. I just drove 7.5 hours, just like I said in the intro.
Yeah.
I drove through the Rocky Mountains
from
the Okanagan. And in the morning when I woke up, they had closed the road due to avalanche warnings.
Yeah, they did.
So we weren't sure if I was going to make it today.
I was reasonably sure. I'm like, maybe we'll just record on the weekend.
Nope.
Nope.
I got to Golden and the road was open, so I decided to keep going.
That was
my choice.
That's good. The craziest thing about living like where we are near the mountains is that is still just the wilderness.
Yeah,
like you just people just die
make,
up there.
Make no mistake, if I had made grievous error, you would never have heard or seen me again.
Yeah, the mountains are scary that we have just like I don't know built roads through.
Yeah, just threw some dynamite and some asphalt down and made our way.
It's not even like we built civilization out there. We just built roads to connect waypoints.
I mean, there's sort of civilization.
Well, yeah.
There are three hotels in Golden, Kevin, that I saw. When I drove in, I was like, do I want to stay at the Best Western or the Holiday Inn?
Well, I tend to drive through.
Or at the skeezy inn.
Oh, yeah. There's always one.
Yeah.
I always tend to go through through Crow's Nest, which is... I don't know. It's a nice town. It has like a nice places you can stop. But
you're talking about the literal canyon you have to
drive.
The canyon that is exactly two cars wide.
Well, the best part about it is that you have to drive past Frank Slide. Where the miners all died.
Go by the largest known rock slide in like Alberta.
And the way that they built the road there, they're literally like, all right, to your right, rubble from a rock slide. To your left, rubble from a rock slide. Road right through the middle.
To your far left, the interpretive information center about the giant rock slide.
It's quite a surreal drive.
It is kind of a surreal
drive. It's a weird drive.
I hadn't thought about that. Like, I've done that drive since I was a kid, so I've never thought about it like that. But it's very surreal.
No, they didn't like...
I bet if we took somebody who had never been to Canada before and were like, here, drive with us on this route, they'd be like, oh my God, what is happening?
What's happening? We're literally on the side of a mountain. Yeah, there's a mountain that way and death the other direction.
Mm-hmm. Welcome to Canada.
Look at all these giant trucks drive past you and hope you live.
Yeah. Yeah.
Welcome to Western Canada.
Welcome to Western Canada, where we sit nestled by the Rockies.
and they both give us benefits, such as the Chinook, but also give us terror, such as, just block off.
Yeah, I'm definitely drove for about 2 hours with only about 30 feet of visibility.
Yeah, yeah.
So there's that.
And the worst thing about driving at like that speed is that you're going along and you're like, I really wish I could go a lot slower. But if we go too slow, someone behind me is just going to ram into
me. Yeah, like you got to go a decent speed.
Yeah. You don't want to be tearing along because...
What I actually would have really liked is if nobody was on the road, if no one was as foolish as me, and then we were like, no, I will just stay home.
Then it would have been fine. If I was the one bold man.
Yeah, if I was the only person bold enough to do such a thing, it would have been fine.
Yeah.
Because the real thing that Fs your visibility is the snow that's whipped up by cars as they go by.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Enough about my treacherous trip. Do we have a topic, Kevin?
We do have a topic.
Is it treacherous?
It's somewhat treacherous.
Okay.
We're working on in this episode. We're working on the assumption that the world has montages.
Okay, but you're gonna have to narrow this down for me because there's the 10-year time skip montage. Right, and then there's the Rocky training montage.
Well, I think the very important thing is that a montage is to show progress over, like and compress it into a certain amount of time.
Okay.
Like, and it can, the thing is that, like, yeah, it can take as so much time as
there's no
needs.
Time limit on the montage. I also have another question. Do montages speed up the whole world or just that person's perspective?
Here's the thing. I think it just speeds up that person's perspective. Because okay. for anybody else who's watching, they're like, man, you've been gone for 10 years. But for you, it's like, man, that was like a minute.
I just trained for 20 minutes.
like, I think you're going to get a lot of Rocky montages. And I think it's going to be this weird thing where perception becomes insane.
Okay, so... immediately to me,
yeah,
this seems very tragic. Like in my life, I would want to avoid all possible montages.
I think you're right,
because it's like, okay, I'm gonna do this thing, and you start like, I'm gonna become a really good graphic artist, Kevin.
Yeah,
just gonna start drawing stuff, and then all like faculty leaves my mind. And it seems like a minute and 30 seconds has passed, but I have gone to university for 4 years.
Yeah.
And people were like, this person doesn't talk to anybody. Like, that's like 8 years of my life that is gone.
I think the important thing that you have to do as someone who lives in the world of the montage, I think there's probably one to get in a class in it in elementary school.
Yeah.
That they're like, either you have to make sure that when you're doing this montage, that it's not something that you get lost in like you did.
Yeah.
And you're talking about, like, you know, you're gone for 10 years. Or it's something that when you go into the montage, you have planned out, like, multiple things you can do. Like, there have been montages you see where it's like, okay, this person, oh, yeah, they're trained to boxing. But they're also going out on dates with their girlfriend.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, you have to make sure that...
it can be a multifaceted montage.
Yeah. and they're teaching people how to...
have to set up their montage.
How to use your montage. And dude, for a montage, it can just be a day.
Dude, here's the thing, though. Like, that still seems, like, horrifying to me. It's like, with your example, you're, like, you're training for boxing and also going out with your girlfriend, and you come out of the montage, and you don't really have any memory except for, like, these brief glimpses that pop into your head of this person, but you're married to them and have, like, kids?
Yeah.
That's horrifying to me.
What would be worse is if they didn't realize you were in a montage when that happened.
Yeah, if it wasn't a montage for them too, they'd know everything about you and you'd be like, oh God. And they'd be like, what's up, honey? And you turn to them and be like, I just came out of a montage. And it would be so horrible for them too.
Wait. Are you saying that like you, because they still gain the skills of montage. Are you saying that they have no real recollection happens in the montage?
I think you only have recollection of what, like, an audience would see in the montage. That's your perspective.
Well, no, here, I think you do know more stuff about them, but the thing is that you can't comprehend where the information has come from, and it's all subconscious.
Oh, so you know all of their stuff, you just have no idea how you know it.
Yeah, and what's...
Okay, so at that point, for me, what would happen, because this happens to me all the time in, like, my friendships.
Yeah.
I'll be like... come out of the montage and be like, oh God, I just came out of the montage. And then I would turn to my partner and be like, did I go to with you to Swirly Land and eat too much ice cream? Or am I making that up?
Tell me about my life.
Yeah. Like, how much of what we did I make up? Because I make up shit all the time. And I have very vivid dreams where I do stuff with people.
Look, I get really passionate about things. And so I go through a lot of montages. I am 50 years old, but I have only lived for at least a day.
I have the maturity of a 6-year-old.
I am the great return of the man baby body. Or baby man body.
Man baby body? I feel like regardless, specifically for me, if you taught me how to use montages, I would get into a montage and come out of it and be like, oh no, what happened?
Well, the problem is that if you're really, really bad at like a montage, you could montage your entire life away.
Yeah.
That would be an actual like problem. It's like there'd be an old man who'd be like, what? It's like, oh my God, he's been in a montage his entire life.
No. No.
This must be something poignant for someone else here.
Yeah.
Because sometimes, like, someone else has a montage to make someone else's story more important.
Yeah, like, finally he forgave himself for dropping his baby when he was, like, 21 and just montaged for the rest of his life. Finally gets over it when he's 82.
Do you think someone would be upset at, like, that drop baby when they're grown up being like, it's your fault he was montaging.
Yeah.
He became disconnected. He became terrible. No one could shake him out of it because he was in the middle of a montage.
I feel like montages at this point are, like, just a mental disconnect from reality.
Yeah, yeah. No, exactly.
This would be a serious mental disease. You would have places... Once people, like, discovered someone was in a montage, because you can discover somebody's in a montage, I think. If they're just doing, like, the same behavior over and over and getting incrementally better and not changing anything about their schedule, they're in a montage.
And they need help.
And they need help. You need to send them to the montage help home.
Well, no, you're exactly right. Yeah, sometimes you need to, like, step in. But the problem is when someone's in a montage, it's hard to pull them. Like, you need to end the montage somehow.
Well, they have to. The only way you end the montage is when they reach their goal.
Well, is that the only way to end a montage? Or can you end it prematurely by essentially stepping in and being like, hey, there's a new problem you have to deal with? I don't think a montage can be the problem itself.
Here's the thing. I think if you just add a problem, that just makes the montage more complicated. Right? They just integrate that. I think the only possible way you could force stop a montage is like by locking them in a room by themselves so they can't do anything. Well, because at that point there's nothing actionable for the montage to take.
Well, going back to what you first said though about like the idea of someone being able to like come in and add an additional problem. Think of like the montages for like someone who's training.
Yeah.
If they all of a sudden like hurt their leg, they usually just stop in the break and they're like, now take a moment to think about what you're doing.
Especially in comedy type movies. Where they're
you have to figure out if it's a dramatic or a comedic montage. If
that's true.
Because in a comedic montage is just a series of injuries and setbacks. Yeah,
over and over. And so, like, it'll be a montage, and then you'll be in a hospital. Montage, okay. Hospital.
So the first thing, when you figure out that someone is having a montage, you have to do a few steps. Number one, figure out they're in a montage.
Yeah.
And there's a few things to do that. You have to see, are they vacant in certain parts of their life?
Yeah.
Can
they, when you talk to them, can they not remember a lot of detail?
Yeah. Does it only seem like there's certain spreads, like...
Are they hyper-focused doing some things and not focused at all doing other things?
And those times when they're doing those one thing seems to be like the only time you can actually get a reaction out of them. Are they not talking a lot because there's a soundtrack going on in there?
Do they keep on going out with the same person at the same day of the week, at the same time, all the time? They're in a montage.
Do they have walks where they just laugh randomly as if, you know, it's a setup for a joke that you did not tell?
They're in a montage.
So now that you
have... Do they see their rival across the street and just shake their head silently at them? They're in a montage.
Are they conscious of their rival, which is something that normal human beings usually aren't?
Yeah. They're in a montage.
They're in a montage. So now that you... Wait, I want to figure out more things to tell if someone's in a montage.
I mean, if they wear the same clothing all the time, they're in a montage.
Or if they change clothing without you seeing them change clothing.
That's true.
They're in a montage. Do they have random seemingly comedic things happen with no real...
context?
Like, yeah. They're in a montage. And that is a very important one because that tells you what kind of montage they're in.
Because
that's the next step. Once you've diagnosed...
Do they just start crying randomly and like look at their hands? They might be in a montage. They might be
in a montage.
Probably not a happy one.
Yeah, yeah. Because now that you've figured out that they're in a montage, it's very important to figure out what kind of montage.
Yeah.
Because that'll be your next step.
Yeah.
So are they, once again, do random silly things happen to them without any sort of like...
I have a question, Kevin.
Oh, are we going to take a break from this?
Is there an occupation whose job it is to break people out of montages?
I think people can make that an occupation.
Yeah, I think that would be an occupation in this world. Yeah.
They're slangly known as the montage men back in, you know, the 1800s.
The montagers.
Yeah, yeah. As you know, we've grown to, you know, the newer time, they're just called, like, their names become a lot more clinical and boring.
Yeah.
So now they're, like, the montage assistants, helper. Yeah,
really doesn't have a ring to it.
Yeah, no, it's not as cool as, like, the montage men or the montagers.
The mon men?
The montage busters.
Busting makes me feel good.
So... All right, we got to help people. People out there are stuck in montages. We got to make sure that we can get out.
Yeah,
the steps you have to get through.
How do you get somebody out of a montage?
So first, you diagnose they're in a montage.
Yeah.
Next, you have to figure out what kind of montage.
Yeah.
Are the random jokes happening to them?
Is it funny? Is it sad? Is it productive?
The very important thing to remember is that there are overlaps. So you can't just take one like, oh, something funny happened here, then a comedic montage.
Yeah.
Because sometimes it's going to be something that seems funny.
Yeah.
But in the context would not be as funny.
Also, you have to be aware that other people might be montaging. And if two montagees cross paths, their genres are going to mix.
Exactly.
For the time that they're together.
So things that signify a comedic montage are jokes without
frequent
context.
Injuries frequent, that heal quickly.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. They don't seem to have any lasting injuries to them.
Yeah.
Though sometimes they will, and then if you go to the hospital and something funny happens, that might be a trick. It's not – you might think like, oh my god, they got injured and actually stuck. This could be a productive or a dramatic montage.
Yeah.
And then you go to the hospital and something funny happens, it might still be a comedic montage.
Yeah, you don't know.
Yeah. Are random one-off characters that you can only really describe as characters appearing in their life.
Yeah.
Yeah. They might be in a comedic montage.
Yeah. Are they crying a lot? Are they alone a lot? Are you their only point of contact? They're in a sad montage.
That's a sad montage. That's a sad montage. Yeah, yeah. Are they spending a lot of time walking through parks alone?
A reflective montage.
Yeah.
Do they just go out on all the dates?
Hang on. Do they literally stand around reflective surfaces all the time? That's a reflective montage. Are they going on a series of dates with ridiculous and increasingly insane suitors?
Yeah.
They're in a romantic montage. And that's probably the worst one because they're kind of creating life.
Yeah.
Or at least drawing life towards
them. Yeah. They will eventually break free from that montage and not know how they got there.
I will say that the romantic montage is probably the least harmful one because it has a distinct end. They won't go on infinite dates.
You don't know. Maybe they are just not compatible with anyone, Kevin. In which case, that goes on forever.
I think... Okay.
And slowly becomes a sad montage.
I will say that...
In a movie, so they started a montage, and it was just this guy going out on different dates with prospective partners.
Yeah.
Right? And the montage just never stopped, and he progressively got older until he was 90 years old, and then at the end of the montage is just a gravestone. Like, that's a sad montage.
That is a sad montage. I agree. But the thing is that I think the keystone of what makes a romantic montage, which is why romantic and sad montages can be very similar,
mm-hmm.
but what makes a romantic montage is that a romantic montage is temporary. It will end usually either with one final silly date or that person just being like, fine, I give up. I'm not going to date for now. The montage ends.
Yeah.
Like, I think that romantic is the – I mean, they all can be dangerous.
Yeah.
And I think there is – a very small, like 0.1% chance that the infinite date loop could happen.
Yeah.
And you do have to keep an eye out for that.
Yeah.
There's a small chance of that.
Keep an eye out for the infinite date loop.
But for the most part, romantic
montages...
Especially
since those montage people start dating each other, like, that's rough.
But for the most part, a romantic montage will end in a week or so.
Yeah.
We're talking about extreme cases of montage.
Yeah, it will usually end on its own. You don't really need to worry too much about it. You can go to a montage doctor.
First step.
Yeah.
Determine they're in a montage. Second step, determine the genre of montage.
Yes.
Third step, optional step, determine the exact goal of their montage.
Well, that helps with ending the montage if they're in a dangerous montage.
If you know their goal of their montage, if you can help them achieve that goal faster or make them believe that they've achieved that goal, then they'll come out of the montage.
There's another option, though. You don't have to achieve a goal to end a montage.
No.
You could have the goal be either the goal change.
Yeah.
Or be irreparably unreachable.
Yeah.
If you can cancel the goal being a thing that also ends a montage.
Yeah, if their goal is to marry Rihanna, and Rihanna gets married, their montage stops,
yes.
Unless they're creepo, and then it goes into overdrive.
In which case,
call the montage police.
I'm trying to think of, like, the montages from movies, and usually, like, they at that point they would end with a final like punch, like, oh, this is,
yeah,
because you never end a movie with a montage. I mean, a montage is the point that it's the middle of the movie.
That's why no one ever dies in montage, Kevin. That's why the moment before you die, if you're in a montage, you break out of montage.
Yeah, that's why sometimes.
That's why sometimes 80-year-old people,
yeah,
are on their front porches and on the, how did I get here? No, and then they die.
That's terrifying. So you, yep, can't die in a montage, but you can break out of it the instant beforehand.
Yep. Yep.
Oh, no, that poor 80-year-old man, all he remembers is that he was 40, and then he wanted to, you know, become a really good painter.
Yep.
And then he's 80.
And then he surrounded dies. By paintings he doesn't know who painted.
I mean, he knows he painted them, but he doesn't know how he did it.
Nope.
It's going to be a really interesting thing that this world's going to be full of people with skills who don't really know how their skills work.
No.
Like this guy who's like, I am the world's best surgeon. But I can't think about it too much.
Nope. Just let my instincts take over.
Because if I think about it too much, oh boy, I know nothing.
Yeah. Okay, so we've covered how montages are a problem.
Yeah.
The one thing I thought of during this whole discussion is that there would definitely be a lot more like be in the moment type classes than there are now.
Yes.
Because like right now when somebody's like, oh, you just got to be present in the moment, half the population is like, shut up, you goddamn hippie. Right?
Yeah, fuck you.
Yeah, they're like, don't tell me how to live my life. I will not stop and smell the roses. Roses are smelly and make me sneeze.
Instead, I'm going to sprint down the road and I'm going to start, I don't know, a kickboxing school.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I think in this world, that lesson has a real value.
Yeah. Being able to stay in the moment means you stave off starting a montage.
Yeah. If you are present and making choices in the actions that you make every single day.
Yeah.
Like, I think public transit, people have to really work hard not to start a montage.
No, I will say, though, I think the thing is that, like, usually a transportation montage doesn't lead into anything.
That's true.
Like,
it's just you're in the next spot.
You know what would be absolutely insane? I don't think anybody will really know how to drive.
Oh, or they'll like, just, like, montage everywhere.
Yeah, they just montage everywhere. Like, transportation would be incredible. You could cross the world in your mind in, like, 30 seconds.
Yeah, you'd just be really stiff from sitting in an airplane forever.
Because all you see is a plane take off, and maybe you, like, getting some food from a air hostess. You get
some travel peanuts?
Yeah, and then the plane landing, and you're like, oh, cool. Now I'm in Beijing.
That's awesome.
No, traveling will be great.
It would be even more terrifying if you were in a terrorist-type situation. Like, and most people, like, everybody's just montaging everywhere. You're in a plane, and all of a sudden it's a terrorist attack. Your montage breaks, Kevin.
Well,
never actually been in a plane before you can really remember. So, like,
oh, here's the question.
Turbulence would freak people the fuck out.
Well, no, here's what I'm thinking. Like, if you're trying to get onto a plane and you're like, why aren't I montaging? Oh, God, something's going to happen!
Oh, God!
Stop the plane! I'm not montaging! Then they stop the plane.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
Because if someone's not montaging, something's going to happen.
Or someone is running to the plane for the last second for their romantic interest to catch up with them.
Yeah.
Because that's another type of montage where they, like, show the person going through the airport and the other person running after them.
Yeah, when it cross cuts, yeah.
Yeah, right?
There's going to be some weird things going on when the idea is that, like, nobody knows how to do pretty much anything.
Yeah.
Especially when it comes
to, like, here's the thing. Some people will know because if they're present in the moment when they're learning and they enjoy the act of actually doing it, they'll learn the skill in the normal way.
I think I have to we have to think what triggers a montage. What is it that makes a montage happen? I don't think it's like zoning out. Because the point of a montage is that someone working very, very hard on something.
Yeah, no, I think it's an intense focus.
Yeah.
But I think it's also a type of focus like, have you ever worked in a commercial kitchen, Kevin?
No.
Okay, so.
I worked at McDonald's once.
When I worked in a commercial kitchen, part of the prep was just like skinning 200 carrots.
Yeah.
Like, I was focused on it, but after a while, you're not even thinking about what you're doing, right? That's a montage, right? Like, you're doing a bunch of paperwork. I've done data input before.
Yeah.
Like, you're very focused, but eventually you're not really, like, thinking about it. You're just doing it.
Okay.
So I think that's a montage, right?
Well, I'm also thinking about, like, okay.
If I think focus and repeatable pattern is what makes a montage.
But if somebody is, like, studying for an exam, they might montage through the studying with, like, these images of, like, a late night and, you know, saying, like, no, I have to say, like, the friends partying off somewhere else.
Yeah, in which case you have to... You're
sitting on a bench and, I don't know,
you have to hope that the test you take is part of the montage.
Well, I mean, that's the entire point. The end goal is to take this test, so you montage through the studying.
Yeah. Well, if you montage through the studying and you stop montaging right before the test, you have this knowledge, but you don't have to know how to apply it.
Well, I think that's why the questions are so important.
Yeah.
Like, when a question comes up that says something like, I don't know.
And remember, there are montages in this world, not flashbacks.
Exactly. No, there's montages.
You can't pull extra information out from a flashback.
No, you can't learn new things from the past. You have the information you have. But like, if you're at a test and it like pops up and it says, I don't know, this train left this station and this train, like that question, you're like, oh, I know that because I know how algebra works. I know how to use dynamics. I know how to use all those.
No, because you don't. You instinctively know, but there's no way of knowing if it's your instinctual feeling that's telling you to like fill in B, yeah, or if you're just guessing. There's no way of knowing. Like, if you're in the montage, you're fine because all the knowledge you've gotten in the montage is going to apply to that test. We've determined that you don't know how your skills work. So the same applies to knowledge.
But the point of the...
It'd be so hard to verify facts in this world.
Well, no, the biggest thing is that means education is useless in this world.
Well, it's not, because, like, you instinctively know how to do things, right?
Yeah.
But there's no way of you knowing if that's the actual correct way to do things, or if you're making shit up.
But no, but the point is that since you remember the montage, you remember that, like, I studied. I studied.
Oh, yeah, I studied, and I know, yeah, it was on the subject.
I studied algebra. I studied, why can't I think of school things? I studied
geology?
I studied the French Revolution. I studied
philosophy,
geology. I studied
history.
I studied all those things.
Yeah.
Then when you get to the test, you're like, oh, I know this because I studied it. Now, I don't remember specifically studying it.
Yeah.
But I know the information.
The thing is, you don't know how you
I know when the Saxon invasion was. I know all the Norman stuff. I know all those things.
I don't know if you would.
But you read it. And the montage.
You did. So, like, a question would come up and you'd read it and you'd be like, oh, the answer to that is C.
Yeah.
But you wouldn't know if that was, like, right now, if you go out and take a multiple choice test.
Yeah.
You have a general idea of how well you did on that. Right? You're like, okay, I probably got around here. But in this case, you have no idea because you have no context.
But I think that's different. I think that if somebody comes in and they have this concept of this idea, when they write it down, they're going off the basis that I studied in this montage. This information is now in my mind.
Right. But skills and information are the same thing, Kevin.
Okay.
A skill is just the application of information.
Okay.
So with the earlier example of the guy who has a bunch of paintings around and has no idea how it happened.
Yeah.
Right? It has to apply the same way to somebody who's studying.
Well, I agree with the fact that, like, he doesn't quite comprehend how he knows the information. But he still knows the information. If you walked up to this guy and asked him when was...
Oh, like, yeah. No, absolutely. He knows the information.
Yeah.
But only when, like... He knows it, but he doesn't know how he knows it. And he also has no way of actually fact-checking. Like, it goes back to the thing where I was like, did I think I was just doing this with you, or did we actually do it? Right? is this actually the right answer, or do I just think it's the right answer? Well, no, you have no way of knowing in the moment.
But Jeremy, that's the same way that real information works. If you pick up a book and read out, hey, what year did World War II start? Then you put it away and you throw that book away, and someone asks, hey, what year did World War II start? You're like, okay, 1953. And they're like, hang on a second. And you're like, no, that's the fact that I remember. It's like, but do I remember it, or am I wrong? Of course you're wrong, because it's not 1953. But the point is that you still think that information is correct.
Here, let me give you an example using that example.
Okay.
Okay, so right now, if I go read a book.
Yes.
I'm like, okay, when did World War II end?
Yeah.
Right? And it's like, okay, 1945.
Yes.
Right? I have a distinct memory of me reading that book and being like, World War II ended in 1945.
Yeah.
Right? Whereas in the montage world, if that happened during my montage, I know I studied the World Wars.
Yeah.
Right? And I think that World War II ended in 1945. And that might be accurate information, but it also could be something I've just made up.
But that's just
because if you ask me about World War II and you're like, Jeremy, who is the most badass person in World War II? I'll be like, oh, the Red Baron, because he has an awesome nickname and shot down planes. That is not a fact.
No, it's an opinion.
Right.
But they're not, but they're, what?
But maybe that is a fact. I just don't know because I montaged. That's what I'm saying.
So you're saying, I have to imagine that, like.
That's why I'm saying fact checking would be so difficult. Because you could only fact check when you weren't montaging.
Well, no, well, yeah, that's what being a test, doing a test is about. Really, in this world, what a test becomes is that is your fact checking. Because everyone understands that because you montaged, presumably, through school, you should have all this information. They do a test. And if if you fail the test, you didn't montage.
No, or you didn't montage. Just because you don't montage doesn't mean you wouldn't know, though. Maybe you studied and just didn't montage through it.
Yeah, well, that's fine. Then the test still does its thing.
Yeah.
But, like,
I know you didn't study.
But, like, it's in your best interest to montage.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Like, if you're studying for a test, montage that shit. For you, it lasts an amount of time, and you actually retain the information better, because people who are in montage have perfect recall.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
That's true. You remember every skill you do in a montage.
The entire point of a montage is that you are getting a skill.
Yeah.
And you are getting really, really, really good at it.
Yeah.
Whether it's going on dates. I mean, to be fair, we're talking about a skill intake montage, not a romantic montage.
Not a romantic montage.
No, a skill intake montage. The Rocky montage.
Yeah.
Colloquially, because Rocky still came out of this world. Presumably. And when people watch movies,
in this world, Rocky Balboa is a real person, not a fictional one, and he studied psychology, and his specialty was montages.
Exactly. Yeah. And then total coincidence, but Sylvester Stallone made a movie called a character named Rocky Balboa.
Yeah, yeah, and he's coincidence.
Like, but I'm not a boxer. I am a scientist.
Yeah, is married to an Adrian though.
Also has a speech impediment.
Yeah.
Yeah. Also looks exactly like Sylvester Stallone.
Yeah. This is a really weird coincidence.
It's really weird. It's a super weird coincidence. Hey, do you want to...
We should go to commercial.
You want to go to commercial? Let's go to commercial.
Let's do it.
Yeah, yeah.
Today's episode of The Third Space is brought to you by 2x4s. Those boards that are primarily used in construction and also in movies to hit people over the head with.
Yeah. Yeah, those. 2 feet by 4 feet boards.
Nope.
Meters.
Nope.
Decameters.
Still
acres.
No. Nope.
Yen.
Nope.
Pounds.
Yen is money.
What?
Pounds is also money. And wait.
What?
Kevin, do you not know what a 2x4 is?
You see, sometimes you look up in the sky.
2 inches.
And you see flying through, and it has four wings.
No.
And
that is not a bird. That is an imaginary nightmare.
Flap.
No.
Flap.
2 inches, 4 feet. Wood.
Okay. Okay.
Kevin?
Yeah.
My driving weary brain forgot where we were, so remind me.
I've Look, it's been a few minutes since we did the other half of it.
See, this is usually where I come in. I'm like, where were we? Oh, yeah, okay. This is where we were.
The problem is that you are tired, and I am tired. How I normally am.
Also, today I have eaten 2 pieces of chocolate and a box of Swiss crackers.
I want
3 cups of tea.
Yeah.
And a water bottle.
Ooh, that's some good food right there.
Some good food nutrition in my belly right now.
You are just full up, aren't you?
I am so good at life right now.
Yeah, all that food in you.
The best.
The water was the best part.
Yep.
Yeah,
that was the healthiest part.
That's the healthiest part of the food that you put in yourself.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm proud of you.
Good.
You had
go
a good
me.
Day. In a good, proud day.
I should have made...
I hope your mom, who I just learned listened to this, is proud of you.
Yeah, you know she listened to it. I told her she laughed at our dick jokes.
Our dick chick jokes.
A dick chick joke.
I think you're going to learn something right now. When I do this podcast, I barely pay attention to what I say. I just sort of like zone out and go wild and see what happens.
Great. Perfect.
Perfect.
And then your sister yells at you when we get things horribly wrong.
We're so good at this.
We're so good at podcasting.
We're so wrong about everything. Montages. We're talking about a world that's made of montages. We spent a lot of time on education.
The world is made of montages?
The world is made of montages.
Or it has montages in it.
No, there's montages in the world.
Okay.
Though, once again, it's such a big thing that it's going to change the way that the world works. It's going to change the way that people are educated.
Okay, Kevin, I think what we should talk about is, in this world, how would each of us try and live our lives? Let's break it up. Because I feel like, while we are similar, we have very different opinions on some things. And I think it'll offer some insight onto everyday life for people.
All right.
Okay, so let's do with the early stages. I think when you're a baby, you're kind of auto-montaging.
yeah, you pretty much
You're an auto-montage.
I mean, the thing is, like I would...
Until you're like 3 years old, at least.
The thing is, I feel like once I hit grade one...
Yeah.
I feel like I would just montage through school.
You think all of grade school is just montage for you?
I think all the way up to grade 12, yeah, it's montage for me.
Oh, no, wait. Definitely not for me.
No?
No, because, like, so much of my ingrained personality traits come from that time. And, like, I understand what you're saying.
Would you lose your personality traits?
No, I just think... It's way too weird for me to fathom going from like ECS to grade 12 and like how complex your personality gets over that time and just being like, I don't understand how I got this way, but I am this way.
But I mean, I'm looking at myself right now. I don't understand how I got this way.
That's fair. But like for me, there's a bunch of stuff I do during grade school that is not school. Like, I took dance classes, I took singing lessons, I did sports,
you'd montage
different social groups. Yeah, but for me, that's all very, like, different, distinct things. They're very compartmentalized? Yeah, that's the word.
They're very caramelized.
They're very caramelized.
Yeah, yeah.
cook those until they were sweet.
Slightly. Hey, I don't know what caramelization is. I watch a lot of cooking shows.
A caramelization is when you start cooking the sugar and it starts getting a little bit burnt. It gets a little bit sweeter before it actually gets burnt. That's caramelization.
So it has nothing to do with caramel?
Well, caramel is slightly burnt sugar, Kevin.
That's what caramel is?
Yeah. You put it in, you make a simple syrup. So you take like...
I know simple syrup is.
Yeah, right? Yeah, and then bartending. You just keep going.
Okay, so it's... So caramel's just like seared sugar?
Yeah.
Holy shit.
I mean, like, in its purest form, yes. If you wanted to get, like, those square chews, I believe they add, like, cream and fats to that. So
like caramel bars.
Yeah, no, that's just, like, seared sugar.
Now I'm even more confused how they get the caramel inside them.
How did you think before?
Before I figured that they just had, like, you know, they put the tops on and then they... fill those with caramel and they sort of like melt them together because mm-hmm. it's chocolate. Mm-hmm. But there's something about the fact that being like seared essentially like sugar that bewilders me because like when I think of searing, I can't think of like, because you can't just cook it.
No.
They just cook it in a vat?
Well, yeah, they do.
Can you burn something in a vat?
Yeah, but the... Okay, so think about it like when you melt chocolate.
Yeah.
Right? You have a water bath, and the water is what's heating the bowl that the chocolate's in. Right?
Sure. So
you're not putting direct heat. You're putting like an ambient heat.
We thought of different things of how to melt chocolate. All
right. Right?
When you said melt chocolate, I thought, I put it in the microwave, and then terrible things happen.
Yeah. Well, there's a good way to do it and a bad way to do it,
Kevin. The good way to do it is you put it in, what, like hot water?
Yeah, you put the chocolate in a bowl.
Yeah.
And then you put that bowl in, like, a hot water bath. You can heat the water.
Yeah.
That's fine. It can be, like, simmering.
Yeah.
And then you stir the chocolate and it melts over time.
Okay. So the chocolate isn't just, like, put on a heating element.
No.
Like, in a pot.
No.
It's put...
And, for the caramel, they probably use, like, a giant copper pot.
So it's like a... Like how you would a turducken, except for a pot. So you put the pot of chocolate or caramel or sugar into...
Well, for I'm using the chocolate example for the ambient heat type thing.
Yeah.
The reason why they'd use a copper pot for caramel is because copper is a superconductor for heat.
Yeah.
Right? So you would get very even heat, and then they rotate it,
basically,
to keep it from burning.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's crazy. I didn't know what caramel was. I thought caramel was just like another form of thing, like cocoa.
No,
like there's
it's not
caramel, yes. Or like you get
nope.
You know, I thought it came from a tree.
Nope.
Yeah.
Which is why I want you to think about this for a second.
I mean, it does come from a tree. Sugar comes from a tree.
Yeah, sea salt caramel, Kevin. This is just them adding salt to sugar. That is all they're doing.
I mean, they're adding sea salt to sugar.
Specific salt. To specific sugar.
It's like how when you get chips, there's salt and vinegar, but then there's sea salt and malt vinegar.
Ooh.
Ooh.
None of this has anything to do with montages.
No,
so I hope everyone enjoyed our discussion about caramel.
Though I will say that within that conversation, there's probably a montage.
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You montaged me the information of how caramel
is.
You drove for 7.5 hours. Why am I so weird?
Well, I think we know that our weirdness rubs off on each other pretty quick.
Don't say that. Okay, we have to talk about montages. We have to do something. We have to do something about the topic that we decided to do.
Do we? I have a question.
Yeah.
Can groups of people montage?
Yes. Yes, you can have a training montage. It's very common with training montages.
Yeah. Like for a team, right?
Yeah,
but
yeah.
That also means people are like building towns and cities, and then the montage ends, and they're like, holy shit, who did all this?
I mean, you know you did it.
Yeah, I know, but you don't know what parts.
I don't know why you think that when people go into a montage, they go into some sort of like lucid dreaming state where they're just in a few.
That's what happens. They only remember tiny little parts of it, right? Like a dream.
Well, no, they remember the entire thing. They can only put an image to small parts of it. So, like, they're like, "Oh, I remember."
Okay,
I built
so then
house.
The guy who surrounded by all those paintings remembers painting all those paintings.
Yes, he remembers painting sections of the paintings. He doesn't remember the sheer multitude there are. Because usually, what happens is you paint a painting, then all of a sudden he turns around and there's seven more paintings.
There's perfect knowledge. Memory recall.
Yes, but not...
But not image recall.
Not image recall. So it's this weird thing.
So you remember all the smells you smelled during the montage.
Yes!
But you only, like, get one picture of you walking past Cobbs.
Yeah, yeah. It's this insane thing that
That is insane.
Okay, imagine you're building a house, and, like, on one piece of wood, there's a knot that looks like, I don't know,
John Lithgow.
There's a knot that looks like John Lithgow. It looks like the dad from Third Rock from the Sun.
Yeah.
And you put it up and, you know, you do all the building. And, like, that was not in your mental montage. Where someone's like, hey, did you see that one piece of wood that had a knot that looked like John Lithgow? You're like, yeah, it's in that house. But you can't, like, fully picture it. You're going to have this weird mental break.
So you would know that you built the house.
Yeah, and you know where that knot is, and you know where that piece of wood is.
Specifically, but you don't remember putting it there.
Yeah, not like the things that we are trying to put words to something that is actually weird and out of context.
Okay, there'd be detectives, because something would happen during a montage. You'd be like, I don't know where I put this important family heirloom.
Yeah.
right? Because you were montaging, and there'd be detectives that would have to go, like, step by step what you did to figure out to find that
to
thing.
To break down a montage. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Sometimes you have to break down a montage. Well, the problem is, like, I think you only remember stuff that relates to you. So if you put up the wooden thing, you're like, yeah, I remember that knot of John Lithgow. But if someone's next to you and they're doing their own thing and you put up a knot, they don't remember that knot because they only remember their own sphere. Yeah. They remember that they were cutting wood.
Okay, yeah, so you can't, like, because you're so focused.
Yeah, so you can lose stuff in a montage.
Yeah.
But because of montaging, you can't recall back information.
Yeah.
Someone has to come in and, like, hypnotize you to get you to, like, I don't know, open up your montage. Yeah, you have to open
or
up,
like,
your montage.
Or, like, a specific private investigator, Sherlock Holmes style, backtrace?
Backtrack. Yeah, they hit every moment in your montage. You're like, well, he was here at this time.
So how did this happen?
Yeah, either that or we get some Inception-level devices where you're going into someone's montage.
No, that doesn't exist. Not in this universe. Only
but I
montages.
Wanted to.
That's a different episode.
No. Okay, fine. Then there's a movie in this world where someone inceptions into a montage. Not dreams.
Yeah. Into
a montage.
Yeah. That'd be so disorienting.
Oh, yeah. You can only exist for that moment of time. And you're like, all right, I have about 6 seconds here as you're like trying to like run around this montage as someone's like moving the montage.
Yeah.
Like, the montage is about to end. The montage is about to collapse.
Do you think there would be like a driving under the influence type thing where it's like he was acting under montage?
No, because if you're acting under montage, then the drive went fine.
No, but I don't mean specifically for driving, but like people act under duress, right?
Okay.
Where they're not making clear logical decisions. Do you think like that would be a plead in court?
But what could you do in a montage that
maybe you steal something? Like
but then you have then it's a stealing montage.
No, not necessarily. Maybe it's a romantic montage and like you're doing all these different dates and then you walk by a jewelry store. And there's, like, a necklace there. So, and then you just have the necklace in the next thing of your montage. But you don't remember how you got it, right?
Wait, that's a there are moments in, like, romantic comedy where someone sees a piece of jewelry and they're like, I bet she'll like that. And then they just have it.
Then they just have it. So how did you get it?
I like the image that in between those two segments of the montage,
it's
one
like
of two
breaks
things that
happen. The window, grabs the necklace.
Yeah.
Runs away.
Well, I think there's an interesting thing about that depends on the kind of person you are. in the moments between like the conscious parts of a montage, you are pure subconscious.
Yeah.
If you're someone who's like, yeah, I'll break it and I'll steal it.
That's romantic.
That's the kind of person you are.
Yeah.
Or you're the kind of person to go in and pay for it, you know, like a reasonable human being.
Yeah.
But I like that, like, you could go into court and they're like, well, he didn't address a montage. Yes, but it was not during a conscious part of montage.
Yeah.
Which means that he has the capacity to just be like he is a thief. That's what he is.
Yeah.
He doesn't comprehend.
That's part of the fabric of his very character.
Yeah.
Is thievery.
Yeah. In his subconscious, he believes that was the best way of doing things.
Yeah.
And how do you persecute that?
How do you persecute that?
Because it's sort of
that's sort of like a kleptomania type thing.
Well,
that specific instance.
Yeah, because it's the kind of thing where it's like, in his right mind, it's the idea of like the insanity thing, that if you are not able to concede you did something wrong, then they can't really persecute you for it because you need help.
They need to help you.
Yeah, they need to help you. So if you're like, I stole it, but I did it in my montage sliding moment.
Yeah, I was in my montage fugue state.
And they have to prove you're in your montage fugue state by talking to him and be like, did you notice when he was stealing this this thing that he seemed unresponsive or like all these like checkoff things if someone's in a fugue
state? There's
like,
what's that, the test from
from Blade Runner?
From Blade Runner that we never remembered what it was called.
The Weyland-Yutani test.
Is that what it's called?
No. I mean, yes. Yes, the Weyland-Yutani test.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Briggs-Myers.
Yeah, the Briggs-Myers personality test.
But there'd be a test like that to see if you were in a montage.
Yeah, yeah. And you could do things like, you could go to a special...
They hook you up to a lie detector to make sure you're not lying about your montage.
Well, I was thinking like you go to a special place and they're like, "All right, we're going to induce a montage in you and see how you react during these out of moments."
Yeah.
And this is like astrology almost, except for a lot better because it's legitimate.
Yeah, it's a legitimate science.
Though I will say there's probably people who are like, "Nah, when you go into that that out of it state, you are being invaded by spirits from another world."
Oh yeah, there'd be people like that for sure.
Yeah. No, there'll be all sorts of crazy crackpot things. It'll be a fun world of fun adventures.
Would it?
No, it would not be, because you wouldn't remember them.
Here's the thing: there's also the type of montage, like we're talking about, very specific types of montage. Yeah. Another specific type of montage is the journey montage, and I'm not talking travel. I'm talking journey. Okay. So, like, there's a car accident on the side of a mountain. Your car falls down the mountain, but you survive out in the wilderness. And then a montage happens as you struggle to get back to civilization. And you, like, you shuffle out of the woods into Golden after a month later. And you're like, I don't know how I survived.
I will say the most dangerous thing about that one is that there is lasting damage in that montage. Yeah. If you, like, fight a bear and get slashed, you are slashed. And you
probably
go
part of the montage.
Yeah, thing. Yeah. You will survive.
Yeah.
Because...
unless the montage breaks, then you know you're fucked.
Yeah, like, oh, I'm not montage anymore. Oh, no, this is the end. I have died. Oh, no, wait, there's the other option, which is the... I'm going to call it the sympathetic montage.
Okay.
Which is where you're montaging for someone else. That's the idea of the old person who dropped like a baby. Mm-hmm. And they montage because their life does not matter anymore. It's how they're interacting with someone else.
You heard it here on the Third Space. If you drop a baby, your life doesn't matter anymore.
I mean, scientifically, yeah. At that point, you're sympathetic montaging.
Okay.
And I think sympathetic montaging is like... it's like a death sentence. Like it is... it is stage 4 cancer. It is like the terrible thing because when you're
in I think if you're in a sympathetic montage,
yeah,
right, there's only two ways out of it.
Yeah.
One, the person you're montaging for comes to a realization.
Yeah.
Right? Or two, this is the time where there's no soft like stop. We were talking about the steps earlier on in the first half of the podcast.
Yeah.
No, this is the you're in a straitjacket and get pulled into a facility, and they try to forcefully break you out of the montage.
Yeah. Well, the problem is that if you get put in a straitjacket and pulled into a facility, maybe that's part of the montage.
Yeah, well, that's why they have to try different things.
Like, getting like, someone out of a...
We're saying, like, I'm using the insane asylum as, like, the first thing. But maybe to break you out of that montage, they send you skydiving. Or... like spelunking.
They have to send you doing something poignant.
Yeah.
Something that takes your life back from this other person who is now like...
well, that other person might not even know it.
Yeah, no, exactly. Right? Well, that's why part of the sympathetic montage could be that if someone can figure out who you're montaging for, maybe scientifically there's like brainwave matching or things that.
Probably. There'd be science studying people who are in montage.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. It'd be a very interesting world. And it's all just
I think it'd be an interesting field of study.
It's interesting because it's all just perception.
Yeah.
Like we've done some...
well, it's all psychological.
Yeah, we've done some world where like, you know, movie tropes happen like the... like the slapstick one or things like that, where like the function of the world is changing. This one's literally like the way that human beings are wired in this world
changes
is montage. Yes. Yeah.
Well, and here's the thing. I don't think our society actually changes that much.
No, I don't think like society changes. I think people change.
Yeah, people change. I don't think society changes that much. I think there's a few different jobs.
Yeah.
We've brought up. But other than that, I don't think a lot changes.
I think the big thing about it, though, is that the people, when they're, you know, trying to get something or trying to, like, you know, gain a new ability.
I still have another montage, Kevin.
Hold on. When they gain a new ability or a new skill, like, that takes a lot more thought from their side because they know they're like, once I choose to do this.
Yeah.
This is what it will happen. I will be stuck in a montage.
I can't abort.
If I pick up a guitar, I can't, you know, do it for like a few weeks and be like, ah, this isn't for me. You're stuck in a montage. You're
going to get that skill.
You are going to learn how to play guitar.
Man, people would be a lot more productive.
Yeah, they would be, but they would be very like systematically productive, unless if you're a person who can montage multiple things.
Yeah,
which might be like a mental skill you could learn.
Lots of people would try to learn it.
Well, when people talk about like, oh yeah, these speed readers who can like just flip through a book,
ten steps to becoming a multiple montager.
Exactly. Yeah, you're like in one montage, I learned how to play a guitar, cook, and sew a sweater.
And this is how you can do it too.
Yeah. Of course, that person couldn't, and they're just, you know, scamming you out of money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, want to hear about my other montage?
I do, yeah.
There's the self-destructive montage.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
No.
Like, think, I'm going to paint a word picture for you.
Okay.
You're watching TV.
Yeah.
It's Entertainment Tonight, Canada.
Yeah.
And it's an E.T. true Hollywood story. And Lindsay Lohan's sitting there, and she's just come out of rehab, and she's like, I was in a montage. I couldn't stop. I was addicted and in a montage. And even when I came out of the montage, I was still addicted. I had to deal with that. Like, that would be a real...
No, yeah, yeah.
That'd be a real thing.
And it's a thing that, like, people have to deal with. And I think...
Lindsay Lohan, of course, avid listener.
And I think that destructive montages, self-destructive montages...
Yeah.
...are a variation of a sympathetic montage.
Yeah. Because
usually someone else is your anchor... Because you're affecting them.
Yeah, yeah.
Sometimes, though, the problem when you get something like Lindsay Lohan or someone who's a big person and they're self-destructing,
yeah,
the problem is that everyone's their anchor.
Yeah.
Because the point is that
it's even harder to get out.
They're affecting a lot of people, so it gets harder to get out. Yeah, yeah. And they have to go to, you know, they go to rehab.
Yeah.
But the nice thing is that a self-destructive montage is actually easier to, like, flip into just a dramatic montage of, like, resurgence. Because there's the opposite of that is the comeback montage.
Yeah.
And it actually, it's very easy to have a comeback montage when you've got a self-destruct montage.
Yeah.
Like, the best
thing... Well, it's not easy, but it's a better possibility.
It's a better possibility. Because usually, once you realize someone's in a self-destructive montage, interventions become incredibly powerful.
Yep.
Like, if someone's just self-destructive and not a montage, they're just destroying themselves, an intervention is about as powerful as an intervention is in the real world.
Yeah.
Which is sometimes. But in a self-destructive montage,
if you can stop the montage,
an intervention will always stop a self-destructive montage.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, 95% of the time, an intervention will stop a self-destructive montage. Like, it has to be a dramatic intervention.
I just realized something, Kevin.
Yes.
So we've talked about, like, people inducing montages.
Yeah.
Or trying to start montages.
Yeah.
And now we're talking about people ending montages. We've talked about that for pretty much the entire time.
Yeah.
Do you think there's a group of people trying to control other people by making montages happen?
I mean, it'd be a tough thing to do, but I think it's something you could potentially do to get someone out of your way for a while.
Yeah.
But the way you do that by being like, hey, you know what? I think you'd be good at guitar.
Yeah.
Maybe you should try to learn how to play guitar.
You should probably do guitar.
Maybe you should learn how to play guitar.
You know who loves guitar? The ladies. You know what you like? The ladies. You should play guitar.
Now, I don't know how that person is your rival. Number one, you're thinking of them as your rival. You are risking a montage.
You're risking a montage.
Like, putting someone else into a montage, you risk starting your own montage.
Yep.
As you try to put them into a montage.
Yeah.
You go into a montage loop of where you're like, I gotta get this person into a montage. I'm now montaging.
Yep.
Of all my different attempts to get them in a montage.
If they resist your montage attempts.
And I won't get out of it until I get them into a montage.
Do you think governments would try and induce montages?
In the population?
Yeah.
Like,
when you think about, like, big speeches made by presidents, like, think about during the Great Depression, how many speeches were made where, like, we need to pull together, we need to work and support each other, and, like, only by doing this will we, like, recover as a nation.
I think that a small-scale use of montages can do great things for a country.
So you do think governments would try to induce montages in their population?
Is that ethical? I don't know, because, like, they're definitely useful. Like, if you want to bring people in for, like, hurricane cleanup or, like, natural disaster cleanup, a montage would be actually very useful for that
because
people become very focused on it.
Yeah.
And those people are going to get the job done.
I mean, you basically get a bunch of hyper-focused slaves.
I mean, effectively, but they will get paid.
I don't think this is very ethical.
Well, no, you still pay them. Because if because someone gets locked in a montage doesn't mean they can be like, wait, we're not getting paid. I think that brings someone out of a montage.
Yeah.
I think you're in a work montage and someone says, by the way, you're not making any money. They're like,
what?
What? No.
Like record skipping sound?
Yeah. Which happens. Yeah. Like, it happens really in the world. It's the one magical thing. Is that that's the sound of your synapses just like connecting again.
Wait, what?
It's just a record scratch.
Oh, sorry. I thought you were montaging. I was. You said I'm not getting paid? Not montaging anymore.
Well, do we really...
Gotta give me that cheddar.
Do we really interesting about politicians? Most of them are probably just going to montage right through their entire, like, election, like, their entire campaign trail.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think Donald Trump would still be montaging.
Oh, no. He's still in a montage.
He's still in a montage.
He's still 100% in a montage.
Obama didn't montage.
No.
Like, he never montaged.
Well, the problem is that Donald Trump is sympathetic montaging for the rest of the world.
Mm-mm. You don't Donald think so? Trump is sympathetic montaging himself. Why do you think he's such a monster?
All right. If you like that episode.
Are we done?
Yeah, we're done.
Well, that went fast.
Rate and review and subscribe
on iTunes. I checked. We're on Player FM.
Nice.
Somehow that happened.
There's a lot of things that are podcasts that use our RSS feed. You can find us. Yeah. Yeah. So you can find us on a lot of things. I think there's only a few things that you specifically need to sign up for.
Yeah.
Most of them you can just grab our RSS feed.
Well, I know for Player FM, unless somebody submitted it, it's not on there.
Awesome.
Somebody has to submit it. So somebody did that, so thanks.
Interesting.
It wasn't me.
I mean, cool. All right. you can contact
us. Write us a review.
Yeah, write us a review. You can contact us on Twitter at Third Spacecast.
You can tweet at us individually. I'm at Mighty Thews.
And I'm at Strawman K. Weir.
Or you can email us at thirdspacepodcast@gmail.com.
You can check out our website at thirdspacepodcast.com.
That also includes some other content that Kevin has posted.
Yeah, yeah. You can find... currently, the one that is most active is me and my sister doing a... Currently, it's Riverdale, but it's a teen drama podcast, a review podcast called Mysteries, Outsiders, and Abs. There's another one up there called Level Zero, which will be a D&D podcast that I plan on relaunching, essentially, or repiloting. Something will happen with that.
In the future.
In the future.
Our theme song is Balrog Boogie by the Diablo Swing Orchestra.
And I think that's... We might have some cool news coming up soon.
Announcements that we will announce.
Yeah, announcements that will be announced once.
We'll announce them on Twitter, so follow us on our Twitter.
Yeah, yeah.
We'll announce them on the podcast, so listen to the podcast.
Yeah. These things will be happening in the future.
Yeah.
If you just keep listening.
If you just keep on listening. Join us next week on The Third Space, where we discuss the benefits and the cons of planking.
Benefits? You're lying down. Con, you look like an idiot.
Oh, also, you might not be lying down on something comfortable.
No.
It's a con.
It's a con.
Yeah. Until then, you're a cool person who lives in a cool place.